church bells? Can you hear them?
Be quiet.
Shh. Everybody. Shh.
Wait, that might be the ice cream truck. Wait a minute. No, those are the church bells for sure. They're coming from St. Joseph's Catholic Church down the road. I used to go to this church with my mom. Yeah, we started at St. Joan of Arc down on West Tuscarawas Street. Look it up. It's an Indian tribe. Tuscarawas Indians. And we moved to St. Joseph. I think that's an Indian tribe too. Me, St. Joseph, me, take over your buffalo. And from there, we went to St. John's. And from St. John's, I flew the coop. St. John's being the coop. But listen to that. Listen to the chimes. Listen to the bell tower ringing out tidings of great terror and anguish to all humanity. Ah, but it doesn't sound like that to you, does it? To some people, it's idyllic. In fact, I just finished the Eric Clapton autobiography, and I really recommend this to you. It's called Clapton. It's the Eric Clapton autobiography. And this guy, being a classic rock star, has been through so much in his life. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. And he came to the point where he just could not get past the drug addiction. In his last parts of it, he was addicted to alcohol. And so he entered a rehabilitation facility in Minnesota. He had to go there twice because he relapsed the first time. And of course, one of the 12 steps is you have to realize you are powerless, powerless. And I was moved. The last third of this book is so moving as Eric Clapton, who, by the way, has a house in Columbus, Ohio, not far from here. Kelly was telling me this morning I should look him up and get him one of my books because he's a perfect candidate for one of my books because, well, let me tell you how he finished his rehab. He came through it successfully, and he said one day it hit him that he was absolutely powerless against this alcohol, and his whole life he felt powerless, and he went to his knees, and he finally gave it to God. Now, he's very not ambivalent, because he's very interested in God, but he's unsure who this God is. And he's the classic example of someone who will reject the God of the organized religion, because Eric Clapton just doesn't put up with it, doesn't put up with all the hypocrisy. Many artists are like this, musicians, artists, they can see through the hypocrisy of organized religion, but they make the classic mistake of throwing out the baby with the bathwater, the baby in this case being Jesus Christ. And I tell people often that Jesus Christ is not a member of his own religion. He's not in the religion bearing his name. And so it's so easy, though, just to figure, oh, Jesus Christ, he's that tough guy in the Bible, the King James Bible, which teaches eternal torment. So everybody thinks, so they run away from it, and they leave Jesus back there. But Eric Clapton, since this time, he's so humble. Watch some recent interviews of him on YouTube. He says he gets on his knees every day and prays to God for help. He prays for his loved ones and his family. Such a humble man. I love this guy. He played on the White Album for The Love, the Beatles' White Album. He was the lead guitarist on While My Guitar Gently Weeps. It's so funny to read his account of it. He's so humble, he like gives it two paragraphs. He says, it's funny, George asked me into the studio one day. George was quite adept at playing guitar for the Beatles, but he thought I would be a welcomed addition. And so I played on While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And he goes on to the next topic. Anyway, my point about Eric is he said he loves church chimes. He loves to hear the bells ring because to him it represents home, right? The good old days when you're growing up, and it reminds him, like some people smell mowed grass. I can smell mowed grass instantly. I'm back at my childhood trying to start that damn lawnmower. But for other people, it's the church chimes. But I say this to you in light of the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, is that this is a false sense of security. You know, I'd rather you smell cut grass because it's all in line with Satan's tactics of deceit today and deception. That is disguising himself as a messenger of chimes. I mean a messenger of light and chimes, you see. So the churches purport to be playing you this delicate music. Listen. Yeah. Wait a minute. I think they're playing After Midnight. No, cocaine. The church bells are playing cocaine. This could be good. I would rather they play that than some of the hymns that get people so upset about the traditions of the church. All right, the locust. I want you to know this. What's so terrible about the locusts? And now, I posed this question the other day. I said, why are they called locusts when they don't have the characteristics of a locust? That is, they don't eat grass. You could grab the backs of their little scruffy necks, which I don't recommend doing, force them down and say, eat the grass. I said, eat the grass, you stupid locust. I wouldn't do that. Another thing that they don't have in common with locusts is what? What was the other thing? They don't eat grass. They don't look like locusts. Yeah, locusts, as we know them, don't generally have hair that looks like women or faces that look like humans. And they don't have this armor going all around them. So many, many differences. But there's one dreadful parallel between the locusts of the unveiling and the locusts that we know and love today. And that parallel is their number. Their number is often appalling. It's horrifying. It's the number of them that is the killer. You take one little grasshopper, right? One little grasshopper, you can crawl on you, spit a little tobacco on your arm. He's so cute. Makes noises, jumps around with his legs, flies. Oh, the grasshopper. But you put them in millions and millions and millions, and they become locusts. They turn into this evil entity that eats, chews, and destroys. It's their number that is appalling. And this is the case with the locusts of the unveiling. There will be, I'm not even going to say it, I almost said this. This is what I almost said that I'm not going to say. There will be a locust for every man, woman, and child who does not have the sealing of God. Anyway, so the locusts are appalling in number. Now, I'm going to read what I think is an interesting passage. I shouldn't even say that because if it wasn't interesting, I wouldn't read it. This is from A. Enoch. He had some experiences living in California for many years with locusts. I once had an interesting experience. Well, okay, he uses the word interesting here. Why can't I use it? While riding on horseback through a wild region of California, at my approach, hundreds of locusts would fly into the air and many flew into my face. I dared not open my mouth and could only squint through a narrow slit of nearly closed eyes. I thought their number incredible. But when I was about to alight from my horse among some tall grass, I was struck with the peculiar color of the ground, and it seemed to be in motion. What was my astonishment to find? That it was a solid mass of young green locusts, and this was in a land where they seldom do much damage. An occasional insect of this kind is no hardship. Their number is what makes them so appalling. And this is probably the reason why this scourge of the unveiling is called by their name. That is, locusts. Now, another detail of the locusts. Remember, I told you that locusts correspond to the natural season of the locust. The natural season of locusts is 5 months. And what do you know? Lo and behold, earthly these supernatural locusts are also appointed for mankind for 5 months. They don't attack the grass, they attack people. They don't kill the people, but they sting them and torment them, and they're everywhere, and they're banging outside of your window. And if there's a crack in your house, they're squirming up through the cracks, and they stand on your counter and look at you, and they come in through the spigots of your kitchen. They come in through your roof. They are insidious. They are dreadful. No one will be able to escape from them. And again, it will be seen immediately that these locusts are not natural. I repeat, these locusts are not natural. And when we get to the sixth trumpet, you're going to see unnatural. So many different interpretations have been made concerning the sixth trumpet. Going to get to that next week, probably. And these locusts, you know what I used to think about these? I used to wonder if maybe this was a description of a virus. I mentioned to you about insects and how scary they are when you look at them under a microscope. Not just insects, but even microscopic pests such as bed bugs or dust mites or the mites that eat your skin, take off your dead skin. If we could see the creatures that lived on us, we would go crazy. It's one of the things you just don't think about. It's stupid to think about it. I don't recommend you thinking about it. Thou shalt not think about the parasites on your skin that, when enlarged microscopically, look like monsters, the likes of which Hollywood, oh, there's a Hollywood movie. They should make a movie called Parasite, where these microscopic things that look so horrible under the microscope that you just barely can see or can't see at all in real life, they become big monsters and they, you know, crawl over New York City. They destroy the Empire State Building. They crawl to the top. There's one dust mite that's now, you know, 18 stories tall, and his legs are like stilts, and he goes up to the top of the Empire State Building. As bad as that sounds, this is worse. This is worse. Here's the season of normal locusts. You ready for this? May to September. May, June, July, August, September. 5 months. Isn't that interesting? The locusts of Revelation torment for 5 months. We are told that the locusts have no king. The locusts generally. This is Proverbs. Interesting. This seems like a contradiction. Proverbs 30:27. Locusts have no king. But these hordes of locusts in the unveiling will be marshaled under the banner of Apollyon. So Apollyon is not their king per se. And if I called him their king earlier, I apologize. Apollyon is not the king of the locusts. He marshals their forces. He's more like a general. And again, I'm basing this on Proverbs 30:27, which specifically says the locusts have no king. Why we're needing to know that, I don't know. I mean, why Solomon thought that we should know that, I don't know. But the messenger of the abyss, namely Apollyon, who is the destroyer, is the one who leads this scourge. And they have tails like scorpions. Here's another quote from Nock, and I'm going to close with this. And try not to listen to this. I'm glad many of you tell me that you listen to this in the morning with your coffee. I join you for breakfast, and I'm thankful for that. I was gone for a week and a half. I know that. I apologize to you. I had to go. I needed a rest. I needed a break. It was just about involuntary. And so, but I'm back. But I enjoy fellowshipping with you. And I know you miss me. And you told me that. And I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. I need to hear it. All right. Thank you. But I'm glad many of you are listening to this in the morning with your morning coffee, because I don't want to read this thinking that you're reading, that you're listening to me right before bed. A.E. Knox says, I once dug down an old lime kiln, which seemed to be a favorite abode of scorpions. And he writes concerning scorpions here, they're a scourge in themselves, though they are neither numerous nor winged like locusts. Here's the killer. This is a Frankenstein beast. Scorpions are bad enough. You find a scorpion in your shoe or something, or you just see one, and it's like you run. You'll run from it like it's the Black Plague. But scorpions have this limitation today, thank God. They can't fly. They're not fast. They don't conglomerate. They don't travel in schools or gaggles or prides, right? They don't, or flocks. They just kind of crawl around. Thank God. They're freaking limited. Now, see, there's the mercy of God again now. And we take that for granted. The mercy of God is locusts are bad. I mean, scorpions bad. And these locusts have the sting of the tail of a scorpion, which is why we're talking about scorpions. It's bad, but they can't fly. They're bound to the ground. And things that can fly, they're not as bad as scorpions. So God forbid if scorpions could fly. Guess what? Scorpions are going to fly. A.E. Nock, I once dug down an old lime kiln, which seemed to be a favorite abode of theirs. Each time I pried off a brick or stone, I had to beware lest one be lurking under it. I could never become accustomed to the horrid creatures with their crab-like claws and long tails curved back above them, always ready to strike. There is no insect I dread more than a scorpion. And he ends this way: what a monstrous and dreadful combination when God supplies the locust hordes with scorpions' tails. All right, let that comfort you and assure you that God is merciful in his afflictions. He will limit it. It's for a purpose, to bring all humanity to himself. All right, tell somebody about Paul today. Buy my book, The First Idiot in Heaven, and give it to somebody. Paul is our ark out of the coming indignation.